The title of my thoughts this morning are Divine Appointments from God. We all have them every day. Meetings to attend and unplanned encounters that surprise us. But what are life's most important appointments? I have a few images on the screen I'd like to talk to you about. First of all, some of them are humorous, obviously. This one here is a picture of my granddaughter Greta in my deer stand. Yep, we went out to just explore nature. And here's a picture of me and my friend Tom Christensen. We used to call him Tank on the football team, as you can tell why, because he was a short, stocky guy. And that's a high school picture that we took from when we went to the Red Lake Indian Reservation. It taught me compassion for people that have difficult situations. And the next one, that's a baby. That's baby Bree, our new baby in our family, my wife's, and I'm actually my daughter, and my, who is it now, Joanne? I forget what it is. She helps me out on all these things. My great niece, thank you very much. I get cousins good once in a while. And then this is our divine appointment. We went to the mission trip in Panama a while back with Randy and myself and the team. And it talked about divine appointments on that, and that was a wonderful trip. We had about 120-some kids come to know Christ as Savior on that trip. And then this last one here, I think, that's my mom and dad. That's in 1943 when they were married in Colorado Springs at Seven Falls, I think July 31st in 1943. But that's not all the divine appointments we have in life, major events that happen. When we were younger, we had chores and events and baseball and football and all kinds of things. And then later in life, like now for me, bam, I'm a senior citizen. Seemed like it happened overnight. And now my appointments are the eye doctor and the dentist and the annual Medicare physical. Thank you, by the way, for your support, you that work, supporting my Medicare benefits. Or chats with the neighbor. All of those things are really divine appointments. We all have these. And I really think even temptation is a divine appointment. Did you know that? Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. That was God's divine appointment for him. All of those things are God's divine appointments. Yes, he opens doors for all of us, but does he cause us to come to him? Does he direct us? Does he chase us? Is he the hound of heaven pursuing us? Absolutely, yes, he does. Does he move people and events together so that we are protected and guided and make decisions that honor and fulfill his purposes? Yes. I had a praying grandmother that prayed all of my brothers and my six boys into heaven. There's a simple biblical principle in Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. It says, God causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. And another translation says, he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust. You see, he blesses believers and even unbelievers. And this clearly proclaims that God is the first cause. God is sovereign. That means he rules the universe. He caused all things to come into existence by the power of his word. In Genesis chapter 1, it says, in the beginning, God said, boom, and it came about. Genesis 1 and 2, all of that. And then, of course, the terrible fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, chapter 3. And by the way, since God is the creator, I don't want you to be fooled by the evolutionary naturalism that permeates our whole culture. It's a lie, absolute lie. So listen, if there is an effect, creation, then there has to be a cause, God. We are endowed, even our articles, we are endowed by our what? Creator, with certain inalienable rights. So this brings us to our first mind-boggling thought for the day, and it'll be on the screen. Does God cause us to come to him? Does he orchestrate the details and the people connections so that we are part of his family, that we are born again? Absolutely, yes. 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy, listen, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So you see, the Bible says, no man seeks after God. How does that all work? Romans 3:1 says, no one seeks after God, but God is seeking you. So if you are seeking him, it is really the Father who's drawing you and the Holy Spirit who is drawing you. Proverbs 21:1 says, the king's heart is like channels of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wishes. Isn't that something? Great, powerful verses. John 1:12-13. Those who believe in him, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born, you know it, not by blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but born of God. That term, did you know, born of God, or born of the Spirit, or born anew, appears over 16 times in the New Testament. We need to spiritually awakened. I like this really cool word that describes this event or this happening in our lives. Zopeo is the Greek term. It means to quicken. Now, it doesn't mean you're fast, but it means to make alive. That's what that means. It's found in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5, where it says, he made us alive together with Christ. He regenerated us. I think of the Lydia, in Acts chapter 16, she was a businesswoman, a worshiper of God, and it says the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. She worshiped God, but she was not a believer in Jesus the Messiah. So it says he opened her heart so that she would respond. And then we have our most famous God-leading verse that we probably all know. It says this in Romans 8:29, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. That's his wish for us. That's his goal for us. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, them he also glorified. This is divine providence. God is after us because he created us and he loves us. He came to die for us, to forgive us, make us new, give us a new heart and a fresh start, and the power of love over our enemies, even on our brothers and sisters. He gave us the power to love, yes, even your nerdy brother or sister, or that control freak that's out there in school, or that maybe liberal Democrat or Republican or obnoxious Republican. God gives us the power to love people. Remember, he's got the whole world in his hands. He has a plan that included you. Think about that. That God chose you. I like what W.A. Pink says about this whole plan of redemption. He says this, each of the three persons in the Blessed Trinity is concerned with our salvation. With the Father, it's predestination. With the Son, it's propitiation or atonement. With the Spirit, it's regeneration. The Father chooses us. The Son died for us. The Spirit quickens us. The Father was concerned about us. The Son shed his blood for us. The Spirit performs his work within us. What the one did was eternal. What the other did was external, Christ on the cross. And what the Spirit does is eternal. Isn't that great? He causes our dead spirit to be regenerated, to be quickened, to be made alive. We're all lost and dead in our transgressions and sin. The reason we need a Savior is because every one of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You can pay for your own sin in hell, or you can let him do it on the cross, and he has done that. Ephesians 1:4 says, he chose us. He chose us. in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ to the praise and glory of his grace. You see, the purpose of this election or ordination is that we would be holy before him. The motive is love. The result is sonship or daughtership. And the goal is that we would glorify God in everything we do. We are image bearers, whether you're changing the tire or you're working at the shop or whatever we might be doing in a deer stand. Wherever we are image bearers of Jesus Christ. It is a mystery. There's no doubt about it. Listen to this. I got this on the internet, carm.org. It's a phenomenal site. It uses this illustration to help us to understand the mystery. He says, what this means is that God changes us. He regenerates us, which enables us to freely then choose him. He's speaking to your heart. He's opened your mind to understand our dilemma. And he uses this analogy. He says, an analogy can be found in the light bulb. In the light bulb. We would say that whenever electricity is present in the light bulb, light itself is the result of the energy. But it is not the case that electricity is the result of the light. Likewise, salvation, when regeneration is present, your faith is the result. He opens your mind. He regenerates you so that you can then choose him. Wow, that's a logical necessity rather than a temporary one. So he chooses us. He calls us. He goes after us. He causes us to come to him. What incredible love. Number two. This is another appointment God has with us. Since he chooses or he causes us to come to him, the second thing I want to share with you today is that God calls us to serve him in vocational ways. And all of us are different with different gifts. He directs our paths. We meet people that sense our calling or their calling. We can talk about ministry, even in business, as a calling. I met with Ken Johnson this week from Christian Network Team, and he's a man that decided to get business owners together and how to share Christ in the business environment. The Lord told Jeremiah. By the way, I was thinking about sharing with you a little bit. My new job or new calling, I guess, for now anyway, is to be a part of the marketplace chaplains, and my clients are people at Anderson and Windows, and so this organization opened up their doors to chaplains, and we call them care partners up here in the north, to help, you know, people in business and people on the factory line, just to, if they have health issues or grief issues, we get to go in there and meet them and get a chance to talk to them about their things that's going on in their lives. And I'm just delighted. I tend to meet people quite easily, so it's a great fit for me anyway. So God uses all of us in different ways. I like what Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I appointed you a prophet to the nations. That's Isaiah. John 6:44 says, no one can come unto the Father unless no one can come to me, Jesus, unless the Father draws him. Yes, God is causing all of us and calling all of us to be a little light of the world. Let your light shine at home. And let your light shine out there in the public arena. In Luke chapter 9, Jesus called the 12 together and he says he gave them power and sent them out to proclaim the gospel. And that's what we do. First of all, in our life. And then when the door opens, we share it with the gospel. 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen people, called out of darkness. You see, the Bible says the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. I believe in divine callings. I really do. I believe that your vocation or your avocation also is a calling, so that everything we do, whether we're on a golf course as our avocation or hobby or wherever we might be, that's a divine appointment. from God. Joan and I have been watching a documentary on TV called Lenox Hill Hospital. It's a fascinating documentary about this hospital in New York called Lenox Hill that has just exploded with growth, and they deal with all kinds of issues. And these doctors, God bless them, are called to heal the body, and you can sense that calling. And whether it's a doctor healing people of brain cancer or whatever it might be, you have a calling too, and maybe yours is in the business world. What an incredible privilege to sense that calling. Helping people live a longer life if you're a doctor or you're on the team of physicians or medical staff. What a great calling that is. But you know what? Every one of us has a calling. And we can witness for Christ where we are employed and share that good news. And so God is sovereign, and he gives ministry gifts and callings. He equips us to witness for him in education or in medicine or in construction or in the sciences. When I think of somebody that pops into my brain, I think of John Lisi, who's in the concrete business. He's a perfect fit, and he shares Christ in that arena. Whether you're flying an airplane or whatever we might be doing, politics, media, entertainment, missions, we are all on a mission, gospel-driven, for the glory of God. Amen? Well, amen. Look at the missionaries in our church. I thought about that. How many people have gone on missions trips or on mission fields or are in full-time Christian work? It's absolutely amazing. So God is calling all of us. He causes us to come to him. He calls us all into different fields. And the third appointment that we have is that God changes us. He transforms us, and he molds us to be like Jesus. And I want to have you answer this question. Am I looking a little bit more like Jesus today than I was yesterday? Am I more patient than I was yesterday, or am I more, you know, on the other side of that equation? God changes us if we let him. 2 Corinthians 5:17, one of the first verses I memorized as a kid, says this: if anyone is in Christ, he is a new, you know what, creation. The old has passed, the old man, the old sinful man, nature, is gone. And it says, he brings all things or makes all things new. That means the things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The things I used to say, I don't say them anymore. There's been a great change. There's been a great change since I've been born again. So how do we change? It's not your work. It's not what you do. It's the work of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God in our lives. Our spirit is now alive because he caused us to be born again. He quickened us, regenerated us, and we now have a new song. We have a new master, a new desire, a new power, the Holy Spirit living in us. Remember, even the disciples, Jesus said, go, wait. Just wait. Wait. Wait for the Holy Spirit to come at Pentecost. And he came. Romans 8:29. For those whom he foreknew, God knew me before I was born, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's what Romans 12 says too. Do not conform yourselves to the pattern of this world, but be ye, what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. I mentioned this word in a previous sermon about metamorphosis. It means literally to change. Transfigured, the same term. It means to be changed into another form, like Jesus. Listen, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. We are not to act like the world. We're not to talk like the world, the gutter stuff. We're not to look like the world and its immorality. You're different. And by the way, your difference attracts your friends to Jesus if they're seeing Christ living in your life and my life. There's a great change from darkness to light, from bondage to freedom, from addictions and self-control, to from anger to peace, from falsehood to truth. We are to be radically different, from hate to love, from being intolerant to patient with people. Colossians 1:13, He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son. And Paul says in Corinthians, we are beholding the glory of God. We are being transformed into His image. I like what Samuel Johnson, listen to this. Samuel Johnson, a writer in the 18th century, he says this, people need to be reminded more often than they need to be instructed. Learning new things keeps us sharp and helps us improve ourselves. But there is so much that we already have learned but just don't either apply or remember. One of those things we need to remember is just how near God is to us. Here's some hope-filled truth to remember. There is never a place we can go where His presence won't be there first. He's in our yesterday, He's in our today, and He is in our tomorrow all the time at the same time. He rejoices over us, He rewards us, He blesses us, and smothers us with His forgiveness and grace every single day, throughout the day. In addition to the good, there is no tragedy we'll face, no hardship we'll endure, and no adversity we'll encounter where God is not with us, steadily holding us up with His mighty, righteous, and perfect right hand. And when you feel lonely and you wonder where God is, know that He is about you, He's above you, after you, amidst you, around you, before you, behind you, He's beneath you, He's beside you, beyond you, by you. We're not talking south. He is for you, inside you, He's near you, He's over you. He's everywhere all the time, always, forever, He is near us. And when you experience fear and wonder why God won't remove it from you, know that He hasn't given you a spirit of fear, that's not from God, but of love and power and of a sound mind, that nothing can separate us from His love and His presence, always and forever, He is near you. And when you're sick and you don't understand why God won't heal you, know that He is still the great physician and the Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. The time frame you have in mind may not match His, but rest assured He is doing a work in you and through you. Always and forever, He is near you. There is nothing that we'll encounter that God has not already defeated. Amen. And not just defeated, but totally annihilated on our behalf when He put Christ Jesus on the cross to cover our past, present, and future sins. Always and forever, God is near us. And when you go through devastating situations, He is with you. And when your life seems to be spinning out of control, He is with you. When you can't see the path or even the next step, He is with you. There are options everywhere that beg us to place our trust and hope and joy in them. Those temporary joys and pleasures hold no comparison to the eternal, never-ending presence of our Almighty God who calls us, causes us, and changes us. His presence is the prize. It's what we get for all eternity. So He causes us to come. He calls us to come. He changes us so that we can look like and act like and be like Christ in this sin-polluted world full of chaos and destruction. And now we find our final appointment. By the way, do you know that all of these appointments began before you were born? Did you know that? And they continue until our last days, our final appointment. See, because the Bible says God numbers our days. He numbers our days. Ecclesiastes 3, if you read the whole chapter, and it's often read at a funeral, I've read it many, many times, the time to be born in a time to die, a time to plant, a time to harvest. And God numbers our days. God knows the day you're going to die. Now, it's not a pleasant talk or topic, obviously. But I like what Solomon says in verses 13 and 14. It says, God has put eternity in the heart of man. You know you're more than a gorilla. You know you're more than an animal out there, although they're beautiful and they're soulish. They are. You love to hold them, and they love to come to get petted by you and embraced by you. But God has put eternity in the heart of man, and whatever God does endures forever. Isn't that great? Forever. You are a forever creation of His. But are you ready to die? It's a sad topic. It's the elephant in the room. But are you ready to die today? If you were to die today, would you go to heaven? It's not about what you've done. It's not about your good works. It's not about your baptism. It's not about your church membership. It's the cross of Christ, period. I know it's a tough topic, but if we fail to prepare for death, we fail. That would be catastrophic and tragic if you didn't know for absolute certainty that you were going to heaven. Jesus said, I came to give them life and came to give them eternal life. Maybe this is your day. Maybe this would be the day that you would pass from doubt and fear to eternal life and peace and joy. Mark said, the kingdom of God has come. Believe the gospel. I want you to see a picture of my brother. That's my brother, Craig. We were talking a long time before last Sunday. He wanted to be at the family reunion last Sunday afternoon. He wanted to share his faith journey and how he battled cancer for 10 years, and he had a story to tell. We're going to meet together at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. People came from all over, Phoenix, Arizona, Massachusetts, out east for their Forsberg family gathering at Joel's house in Shakopee. But last Sunday morning, my brother died. I went to his apartment, and I lost it big time. He had a 10-year battle with blood cancer, multiple myeloma, kidney cancer, lung cancer, brain cancer, esophageal cancer, spinal cancer. Craig came to faith at 12 years of age. He became a youth pastor and went to Moody Bible Institute. But for a while, he got stuck. He couldn't reconcile. If God is sovereign and in control and He's all-powerful, then why does cancer kill people? Why do kids die? He couldn't quite get that. And so he left the Lord for a long time. He abandoned his faith, but he finally came home because of the cancer. That's a lot of cancer. And he says, I thank God for my cancer. It brought me back to Christ. If you have a loved one that is in that condition where they're wandering far from God, they're a prodigal, or they've actually, in his testimony, by the way, I've got a couple of copies in the back. It's incredible. He came to his senses. And I'll never forget the many, many good talks we had about his wayward years. I want you to pick that up, and maybe it would be a blessing to somebody else. It's an amazing story of grace and truth. But he's alive today. My brother made these kind of things. The reason I brought these up is my brother was kind of a creative stonemason. This is marble. iPad. See that? I got a lot of these. He made a lot of them. If you'd like to have one. Aren't they great? Little, it's phenomenal. But now he's in heaven. No more pain. He's alive. He's pain-free. And like the song, he's forever young in heaven. I'm looking forward to the next chapter, by the way. This isn't all there is there? Death is just the beginning. Heaven, what a place that will be, filled with glory and grace. Paradise for his children, better than Hawaii, better than the fantasy islands. In heaven, we get a new body just to be like Jesus. We even get to maybe zap, appear into a room like Jesus did. Remember in his resurrection body? I don't know. Maybe we get to have that. I hope we get to. That'd be kind of cool. Boom, all of a sudden you show up and appear in a room. But I know we do get to ride white horses in heaven. I do know that. And you know that. If you've read Revelation. And I do know that we get to sit at a marriage feast, the marriage supper of the Lamb. So there's one thing more important than anything else. And that's the cross. It's the most important single event. And then the resurrection, the resurrection over death. And if you have any doubt about your faith, remember God causes you to come. He calls you to come. He changes you when you do come, so that when we meet this last appointment in life, we get to be with him forever and ever. If he's calling you to salvation today, trust him. Ask him to forgive you all your sins. And if he's calling you, then let him sanctify you and cleanse you and make you whole so that you look like him out there amongst your friends or in the workplace or a calling of service. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for this day and the way you direct our lives every day. I thank you for the divine appointments, the big ones, like death, and the little ones, like a conversation with the neighbor across the street about Christ, about what we say at work and what we do at work. So, Lord, thank you that you caused us to be born again. May our life glorify you. And, Lord, save someone today. Sanctify someone today by the decisive decision of their will to surrender to Christ. And then, Lord, in service, may we serve you, whether we're at a factory or we're at a hospital, whether we're at school, that we would honor you all the days of our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.